fitter, happier. A program about your health, for your health.
The LGBTI community face issues of safety and confidentiality in their everyday life, and issues in health should not be one of them. Being able to navigate the health system is vital for personal well-being, and the organisations such as Rainbow Tick, the health system is becoming a safer and more inclusive place for LGBTI patients to be in. Here on Fitter Happier this morning, we have Jane Armstrong, clinical nurse specialist at Royal Perth Hospital Bentley Group Mental Health.
You got it out. Well done.
Well, it took me two breaths, but we got there. Welcome back.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So nice to have you back.
Lovely to see you.
It's been a while.
It has. Too long.
Now, like, accessing health is scary for anybody. Like, but let's talk about just how scary it can be for LGBTI people, you know, who may feel a bit ostracised and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, I think we know that the group of LGBTI identifying people is growing. That's for a number of reasons. I think it's becoming more accepted. But also I think people are becoming more willing to come out and to express who they are. And so we see definitely an over-representation in mental health of LGBTI folks, a huge over-representation. So we're talking probably around about 10 to 15% of LGBTI people have come through mental health services in one form or another.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's not necessarily requiring inpatient treatment, but a requiring support.
Do you think that's because for some people, you know, going, seeking out mental health systems, mental health services, you know, they finally get the courage to talk about and actually come out with how they're feeling?
Yeah, I think so. But I also think that, like we've just done at RPBG, Royal Perth Bentley Group, make sure I say it properly, you know, we're doing things to make sure that people feel safe, that people feel that they can trust the service providers.
How important is that, you know, especially for LGBTI people to feel protected and supported?
Oh, it's huge. You know, like as an out and proud gay woman myself, you go anywhere and there is a risk that you always feel unsafe. I think I've said this before, particularly during the marriage equality debate, all of us felt unsafe. Because everywhere you went, it was being discussed. Everywhere you went, you were being subjected to ridicule and bigotry. So for people who are suffering in their mental health, to come into a safe space is vital. There's no question about it.
I just rolled my eyes there when you were talking about that.
Because I heard that.
I know. I couldn't help myself. I feel bad for doing it now, but it just annoys me so much that in today's day and age, people have to feel that way.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I think I do see a shift, and certainly the marriage equality debate showed that there was a shift in the general thinking of society. We've still got a long way to go, but I think certainly for us to get this rainbow tick, to achieve the standards and show that we're an inclusive service, that we're providing a safe space, that we're providing services that are person-centred, has been so important.
Mm. Let's talk about what some of the main issues that LGBTI people may be facing whilst they're trying to navigate the system that is the health system.
How long have you got? look, the health system is a complex system anyway.
Mm.
It's tricky to navigate if you're physically or mentally unwell. I think for those who are mentally unwell, there's this cloud of confusion and sometimes not thinking clearly. So to try and get the best possible care or get the most out of a service is tricky. So I suppose by making sure that all staff are educated in the nuances of what it's like to be LGBTI, particularly for trans people, that's a really, really, that adds another layer of complexity to the health service, not only for the consumer, but also for the healthcare provider. You know, you've got things like, to give an example, you've got a female to male transitioning person who identifies as a male. Now, you look at most of our mental health services who have very few single beds with en suites. Some are lucky to have single beds. So the question is, where do you put them when they require an inpatient bed? Do you put them in the male dorm or do you put them in the female dorm? And if you put the female to male transition person in the female dorm, but they identify as a male,
that doesn't make sense.
No. So, and again, these are the things that, you know, as a service, we've had to consider and think about before we even start providing what we call inclusive services. We have to take those things into consideration.
And I think, I guess, coming from, like, I have nothing to do within the medical realm or anything like that, but I'm assuming, and I could be completely wrong, that there's probably a lot of healthcare professionals out there who don't really know much about transgender people and the issues and whatever else comes along with it. I feel like it's quite a niche.
It is.
Market. Yeah. I don't want to say market, but it's not. How can we get...
Quorum? Group?
Yeah. Group.
Yeah.
Group. But how can we get more people educated?
Wow. Look, I think people will genuinely seek out information if they're interested. I think for some people, and of course I'm generalising, they just go along in their world and unless they are confronted by it, will not actually seek out that information. So part of our endeavours to get the Rainbow Tick was a robust education system. We had a lecture series held at Royal Perth for staff by a multitude of people from the LGBTI community. We had people who access our gender diverse clinic who talked about their experiences. So I think education is key, but it's also how people see themselves fit within the services that they can provide. So, for example, someone ED might not even consider the fact that someone might be gender diverse or fluid. Also recognising the fact that, you know, people's gender is very different to their sexuality. And that was one of the big hurdles that we came across when we first started the education process, is getting people to realise that you're not necessarily, you don't necessarily identify as the sex you were born into, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes
Which people,
sense.
Some people don't even think about.
Yeah.
It's not in their frame of reference until you've been confronted by it.
I feel right now on the mag, for Fitter Happier, we're talking to Jane Armstrong about LGBTI people navigating the health system and about the Rainbow Tick. But I just want to go back to that point about how, about people not thinking about LGBTI or genders and stuff like that. But in this day and age, I find it hard to believe that people aren't exposed to that. Or do you think it's just that people are closed off?
A bit of both.
Yeah.
Bit of both. I think now you can't speak to anybody. Now, I'm saying, you know, this today.
Yeah.
You can't speak to anybody who hasn't now been exposed either to someone who might be identify as gay, or someone who might be transitioning, or anything like that. It's difficult to come across a person now who doesn't have someone in their close realm. But perhaps now it's actually more acknowledged. It's more in their face, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because it's very easy for people to trottle along and just not actually see or
what's
not want
actually
to see.
Happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about Rainbow Tick, though. There's lots of organisations out there working towards inclusivity.
Inclusivity, yields.
I said it.
Yes.
But particularly, what's Rainbow Tick all about?
So we had to meet 6 standards, which gave us full accreditation. So we had, it was about a two and a half year process where we worked towards changing our services, changing our processes, policies, our thinking to meet the standards that are set by a quality group. And basically it's consistently delivering high quality care, being inclusive, recognising the diversity of the people that we provide services to. And really, again, it comes back to person-centred care. It's not one size fits all. I mean, it never should be. But those standards were so diverse in themselves. You know, it was about policy, it was about practice, education, even our image. Our image as a service. How do we present ourselves so that we show that we're an inclusive, safe space?
I think that's so important and kind of leads me on to the next question, which is how can we as a community help empower LGBTI and in particular trans people to be, you know, to how can we help advocate for their health?
Well, I mean, I think the best thing is, you know, everybody has red blood. So does it really matter?
Oh, my God, that's so true.
It doesn't really matter if someone who is, say, born a female realises that they want to be a male. Does it really matter? Because they're still the same person. And I think, really, we still have some very old attitudes here in Perth. Again, I'm generalising. Because really, Perth's still quite a big country town in some senses.
Oh yeah, the biggest but smallest country town.
Absolutely. So really, it's just about realising that people are just people, and does it really matter how they identify, or you know, if they feel that they should be a male when they're born a female, does it really matter? Really,
in who cares?
The end. Yeah, that's exactly right. As long as people are happy and nice to each other, and you know, I can hear, you know, birds cheeping and the sound of bells coming, but that's really what it comes down to.
And everyone's skipping along.
Absolutely, holding hands.
It would be so nice.
Be nice, wouldn't it?
Jane, you are nice.
I've been called many things.
Thank you so much. Thanks, for your darling time for Fitter Happier this morning. We were just speaking to Jane Armstrong about inclusivity within the health realm for LGBTI people, and I just wanted to remind everyone that if you do want to grab some more information, you can head to healthywa.wa.gov.au, and if you need to have a chat with someone or about anything, you can always call Lifeline on 13 11 14.